Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Steven Gerrard says there is no chance Alfredo Morelos will leave Rangers in January, and he apologises if his St Johnstone post-match comments caused any offence. Mikey Johnson's hoping to star for Celtic in next week's Old Firm game as another youngster commits his future to the club, and Craig Levein accuses Derek McInnes of double standards and talking tripe. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, two men who never, honestly, never talk tripe: Alex Ray and Hugh Keevan.
The league that caught fire in August now turns into a Yuletide inferno. You could not make up a better sequence of fixture list to take us up to the winter break. And Steven Gerrard was correct when he made the point about players making life difficult for themselves. He might have used less than diplomatic language, but the sentiment was accurate. We are now talking about fine margins deciding the outcome of the title race, and if you beat yourself, Alec, that's just careless.
Alex Ray, everyone is winding down, looking forward to the big day tomorrow. Having been involved in the game, you know that that doesn't really happen. Football doesn't stop. Huge games that we've just passed at the weekend, and some huge games to look forward to on Boxing Day as well.
Yeah, it's a very important time of the calendar, Gordon, in terms of football. The top three pick up maximum points, but for me, the big winners at the weekend were St Mirren. 3 points at a vital time, getting into a couple of more games before the winter break, so plenty of things to discuss tonight.
Right, hopefully the Christmas shopping is done. Maybe there's a bit of wrapping left, but you can do that after 8 o'clock. So let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. On Twitter, we are at ClydeSSB. It was a busy weekend, so what talking points did you take away from it? What about Rangers yesterday, Celtic on Saturday? As Alex says, St Mirren, arguably the big winners over the weekend. And what about today's news stories as well? Will Mikey Johnson be the man to continue playing up front for Celtic? Karamoko Dembele extends his stay. So much to get through, but we can't do it without you. So let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Do it now.
Well, I mean, the big moment of the weekend, I think, was Alfredo Morelos scoring with 2 minutes to go at Perth. Because had Rangers slipped up in Perth, then you can only imagine what Steven Gerrard would have said. He had plenty to say after Rangers won. He knew the value of that goal from Morelos. And even though Alfredo Morelos has yet to score against Celtic in 2 years of trying, he is, I think, without doubt, the biggest threat to Celtic. Once Rangers get Hibs out of the way and Celtic get Aberdeen out of the way, and the two meet next weekend.
Right, speaking of Alfredo Morelos, and I want to get your opinion on this on the phone, so let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Steven Gerrard says there is no chance he will leave the club in January, but admits there is likely to be interest in the Colombian. It was a double yesterday. It made it 19 goals for the season, and Gerrard says he'll only get better.
He's a top class finisher. He must be a nightmare to play against, because, you know, I see him, you know, constantly giving defenders tough afternoons. Defenders go out of the way to make it very, very difficult for Alfredo. They try everything they can to stop him. He just carries on and he keeps wanting to score goals. He's got that hunger. He comes alive in the box. That's football. All good players around the world receive interest and bids and blah, blah, blah. That's normal. There's nothing I can do about that. No, I won't turn the phone off. I'll listen to what they've got to say. I'll be respectful, but he's going nowhere. That's the message. I've said it before, I've given the message before, so he's going nowhere.
It's always similar language with any club and any big asset at this time of year. Not for sale under any circumstances. Uh-huh. But then we also hear that phrase, which is every player has his price.
Yes.
Would you expect interest in Alfredo Morelos in January?
Yeah, without doubt. You look at last January, where there was reported 7, 8, 9 million pounds, depending on what the reports were. Mm-hmm. And for me, he has not He's superpassed last year by a country mile. He has improved as a player all round, his general all round play. He's actually surpassed the goals that he got the whole of last year, Hugh. I think he got 18 last year for Rangers. So I would expect some sort of bids to come in, because what I do know is people with money want to attract good players, and particularly goal scorers. And if someone out there feels as if he can get the goals to get them to a championship, into the Champions League, or whatever the level it is, they will come chapping.
Gordon, here's the deal.
Okay.
If Rangers keep Morelos, they've got a chance of winning the league title. If Rangers sell Morelos, they don't win the league title, because he's that important. His goals are that important. I repeat, he has yet to score against Celtic since arriving in this country. But come the weekend, he's the biggest threat to Celtic.
Is it always that simple though? Because there's, as we all well know, in modern football, there is a business argument.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Surely there becomes a point where you have to maybe even concede that it might damage you this year, but that the money would be too good to turn down. And obviously I'm being hypothetical.
Yeah, of course. Rangers fans are demanding that Celtic's league run be ended. They don't want to see 8 in a row. They fear 10 in a row for Celtic, and that they want Steven Gerrard to stop this run. Now, if he's got Alfredo Morelos, he has a chance. If he doesn't have Alfredo Morelos, he doesn't have a chance. And what effect does that then have on Steven Gerrard? Does he then say to himself, I'm wasting my time here?
Rangers fans, let's hear from you on this then. 01419511025. Are you worried? Are you expecting interest in Alfredo Morelos in January? Is it a case of keep him at all costs? Or does every player have their price? You tell us. 01419511025. And Steven Gerrard's also apologised to St Johnstone if any of his post-match comments were taken as an insult. The Rangers boss slammed his own side for a shocking first half performance, and he says they must improve ahead of two huge games this week.
Yeah, I think we've showed many a times throughout the season we've got character and we've got guts, but we've also showed that at times we've turned up at places and just thought we've got the divine right to beat the opposition. We weren't the real Rangers team that I've seen on so many occasions in the first half, and I said that after the game. Some of my quotes were taken out of context, if you like. It wasn't what I meant to be disrespectful to St Johnstone or Tommy Wright. Tommy went out of his way to welcome me here. He's someone who I've got the utmost respect for, St Johnstone as well, and all the teams and managers in the league. So some of my quotes were misunderstood or taken the wrong way, so I apologise for that. But I think it showed clearly that we were second best in the first half, all over the pitch. St Johnstone were excellent, the best team. They also had periods in the second half where they caused us a few issues. But you've seen it quite clearly yesterday that we showed two sides of us. One that was second best, and then second half we played with character and belief and purpose, and we got our rewards for that.
The comment that he's referring to, Hugh, he said we shouldn't have to work that hard to win at places like this, with all due respect. What do you think?
The language was not from the diplomatic corps, but the sentiment was correct. Rangers should be capable of going to McDermott Park and winning the match more comfortably than they did. Rangers have made a variety of slip-ups this season. Dens Park, should have been capable of beating Dundee, had to settle for a draw. Go to Livingston, lost. Play at home to Aberdeen, lost. By the same token, I think that Celtic have to tread warily going to Pittodrie and Ibrox for three reasons. A goalless draw against a hapless St Mirren team. A draw against Livingston, again, the Tony Macaroni. And the evening at Fir Park where they drew 1-1. Having gone a goal up, having missed a penalty to go 2 up. So there for me are 6 points carelessly, needlessly thrown away. And that's why I say Steven Gerrard's correct. If you harm yourself, that's careless.
We're almost back to where we were last week with Rangers, Alex, where you're caught in between acknowledging that 3 points is all that matters, and sometimes you have to win ugly, and you hear all these phrases, but also acknowledging that the performance level needs to be better. And I don't think any Rangers fan who watched the first 60 minutes at McDermott Park yesterday would argue against that.
You can't argue, Gordon. I was at the Hamilton game a couple of weeks ago, and I said as well, you know, they started first 10 or 15 minutes to get ahead of the game, out of sight. It could have been 2-3-0, and the game's finished effectively. And there's periods where Steven Gerrard's seen this. I think there was mitigating circumstances as well yesterday, because I don't think they had their main midfielders. I really, when Arfield's not in that midfield, it's a big miss for them. He's the guy, the go-to guy from middle to front. He makes brilliant runs. So when he's not there, and when you look at the personnel in the middle of the pack, the part you have, Andy Halliday, young Ross McCrory and Koulibaly. For me, they are all very similar. I don't see anyone picking passes, and I've been saying it for weeks, and they're crying out for someone to take up the mantle in that aspect and get the team going. And they huff and puff, and unless they've got that. But you have to put it in context as well. I think that's 36 games that Rangers have had to negotiate. And I actually think that getting to the end of this cycle, I said at the beginning of this month, I felt as if they need to still be within a couple of points of Celtic before they can go into this winter break.
Ian's in Blantyre. What's on your mind tonight, Ian?
Hello, gentlemen. I just want to talk about the Alfredo Morelos. I'm really, really worried. I'm really worried about him. In case he does get sold in January, I'm really worried about him. And by the way, Merry Christmas to you all.
Thank you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas as well. I mean, I guess it would be a concern. You find any team in the planet, Alex, yes, and say that your top scorer could leave or whatever, then I'm sure fans, yeah, would be concerned.
Yeah,
it's listen, understandable.
You can never say never in football. I think that's one of the things we'll all agree on. I think Steven Gerrard was categoric today that he will not be going. They have tried everything to make sure Morelos is happy. Now, see, when you come in, if you go back a year ago, I think I was on this programme saying, see, if it was 7 or 8 million, I'd have bitten the hands off you, because I don't see the player then that I now see it today. So I can see the progression in him, and I think he will get better. For me, he is the main man for Rangers. We were on this programme a few weeks ago talking about the importance of Dembele for Celtic. Edward, and the Morelos for Rangers. And I says, Rangers could not cope without Morelos. Whereas if you look at the weekend, young Mikey Johnson comes in and Celtic could have been 6, 7, 8. So I think Celtic are better able to cope with that.
I mean, how categoric can you be though, Hugh? Because this side of football business sort of fascinates me. I completely understand when Steven Gerrard sits there and says, he's definitely, we wouldn't entertain any bids.
Yeah.
Surely there becomes a point where you would simply have to.
Well, the position that Rangers are in, Rangers' business plan is not yet a sustainable one. And that's by Dave King's own admission, that Rangers need to play in the Champions League and on a regular basis before Rangers become the business model that he's looking for. However, Dave King has this problem on his hands. The Rangers supporters want Celtic's run of league title wins to be brought to an end. If Morelos is sold and Celtic go to 8 in a row, then why would they renew season tickets? Why would the manager want to stay when the best player is sold from underneath him? So I think, yes, I accept your point that everyone has his price, and in Moussa Dembele's case at Celtic, it was close to £20 million. And that was good business. On you go, Ian. On you go, Ian.
No, I'm saying I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
What you're saying about the price tag business. But it's really good. And a Merry Christmas to you and your family and your grandchildren down south.
Thank you very kindly, Ian.
Speak to you later, right? Bye.
Oh, bye. Short and sweet. That was Ian and Blantyre. Keep your thoughts coming. 01419511025. Tom is in Falkirk as a Rangers fan. Tom, looking to yesterday, is that the prime example of how much Rangers do rely on Alfredo Morelos at the moment?
Definitely. Ryan Morelos is I think he's been tremendous this season. First of all, I wish yourself, Gordon, Hugh and Alec a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year when it comes in to all the listeners.
Same to you,
and
Tom.
And also, I'd just like to wish Lee Griffiths a speedy recovery before I go into my point.
Good for you.
My point to Alec and Hugh and yourself, Gordon, is how do you think Rangers will set out on Saturday against Celtic? Do you think they'll attack more than they did at Parkhead? And if they can get a good result, which I think they might, do you think it'll give them the confidence they can push on and win the league title this season?
You take the first part, Alex, a bit about the team.
I think it will depend on whether Arfield's fit. I think he's crucial. In terms of Ryan Jack, he would start for me as well. My midfield would be Ryan Jack, Arfield, and Koulibaly. I think they three looked strong. When I seen them against Hibs the other night, I felt as if, right, okay, they've got that central, they're powerful, they break from middle of the park, particularly Arfield and then Candies. The only issue I have at the moment would be Gresdar. He doesn't seem to be anywhere near the level. I know he had an injury earlier on in the season, but even at this stage, he's starting to get games, he's struggling badly. So whether they can get Kent up, I know he's kind of back in training, but whether it's too soon, having been out for a few weeks, it may well just be...
Sorry, Alex. Kent, they ain't in McCrory, but we think they might be away from McCrory at the back.
No, not at all. No. I think Steven Gerrard's already said that when he first came in, that he felt as if he was thrown in at the deep end last year with the previous manager, basically. So it hasn't really featured at all at the back. For me, the best partnership, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, would be McCauley and Golson. I feel as if they two give you that kind of security.
Tom, what about a left back? Because all of a sudden, it looks like there's a real chance Lee Wallace plays in that game against Celtic when, you know, a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, that would have been unthinkable. What do you make of that?
I'd be quite happy with Wallace because he was a good player when he played before, and hopefully he still got it because he knows he's an experienced player to play in the Firm game. He's got experience in that, so I'd be quite happy if he played.
Tom's
hope yourself, Alec, would you be happy with him playing?
Tom's point about the psychological lift that could be obtained from a win at Ibrox for Celtic and for Rangers is an important one. However, you can't look beyond Pittodrie for Celtic, and you can't look beyond Hibs going to Rangers.
Well, you can in Glasgow, that's the thing. We'll be looking beyond 10 and 12 and 14 games at a time to get to this one.
Okay, I'll play the game then. I'll look beyond Pittodrie and I'll look beyond Rangers against Hibs and say the psychological lift for the winner would be immense. Yeah. I mean, if Celtic won at Ibrox, it would really be sending out a very strong message that whatever Rangers do this season, it won't be enough. And then Celtic could put the icing on the cake by having one or two big signings in the January transfer window. If Rangers win, and only 800 Celtic supporters are there and 50,000 Rangers supporters are there, then they really take on a second wind for the last part of the season.
Alex, what about this Lee Wallace business then? Yeah. Because, Barisic is clearly the number one choice, and then it's been sort of Flanagan and Halliday. Barisic goes off injured yesterday, Lee Wallace comes on. Steven Gerrard said something along the lines of, yeah, he looked like he hadn't played in a while, but he didn't mean it to be overly critical, just meant he was a bit, he said he was rusty.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, is there a real chance he plays against Celtic?
Well, listen, I think he makes a very good point to call in terms of the balance. I think that's one of the key things. I don't think you could put John Flanagan in there at the magnitude. I think James Forrest would give him a really tough afternoon. So I think by the actual natural balance, the fact is he may well have another game in midweek leading up to the Celtic game would maybe get him up to speed a little bit more. I seen Lee Wallace play in a reserve game a couple of weeks ago, Gordon, and he cantered it. So he's been playing games on a regular basis, albeit it's a different level.
Right.
But the interesting thing I want to just quickly make, Gordon, is going back to September the 2nd, Steven Gerrard says, judges on the 29th of December. So let's see what that all makes.
01419511025. Let's hear from you, Celtic fans. This bit might interest you in particular because we're going to hear from man of the moment, Mikey Johnson, after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Hugh.
Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
I'm clearly easily amused, Hugh Keevans, but that never gets old. I still, I like it every time I hear it. All I want for Christmas is Hugh. Magnificent.
I've had a tough day. I had in a restaurant today where you could only order your food by using a machine.
What's that all about?
Oh,
I think it's a popular fast food restaurant.
Yes,
yeah. All right.
Other restaurants are available. However, the
you and technology don't tend to mix, so I can just imagine the scene.
Well, the woman could tell that my bottom lip was trembling and I was on the verge of tears, and she came out from behind the counter and said, "What would you like?"
I can just imagine the box getting handed over, and he opens it, and it's just a gherkin, one single gherkin,
yes,
in the box,
yes,
because
exactly
he's messed up
order.
I've
got a 5-year-old grandchild drumming his fingers on the table, saying, "Where's the food?"
Speaking of technology, if you head over to our Twitter feed @ClydeSSB, you will see what we've been waiting on for quite a number of weeks now. It is a gift from us to you, Clyde Super Scoreboard's Mean Tweets, the festive edition. You may remember the original Mean Tweets. It was where the phrase Specky Tube was first coined. Well, we now have a festive edition of some of your Christmas well wishes to the panel. Is that
as it were?
Yeah. Alex Ray, you star quite heavily.
Oh, don't. It was a carry on. It's great. I listen, it's good that you can actually laugh at yourself, Gordon, which is brilliant. You know, I wasn't happy day, not.
Oh, dear me. At Clyde SSB, go and check it out. It's yeah, listen, it's interesting to say the least. Those were the ones that were clean enough just about for us to get on there. Anyway, on the phone straight, let's hear from you. 01419511025. And let's hear from Mikey Johnson. He says he's ready to play in the Old Firm game if he's called upon. He's now scored 3 goals in his last 2 games for Celtic. Known as a winger, now playing up front. He says he's in dreamland after being given the chance by the manager, but knows he must grab it with both hands.
So again, it's just surreal. It's unbelievable just scoring another couple of goals and helping the team to get a win. As I said the other day, I'm just taking everything day by day and just not getting too far ahead of myself. And just I need to just keep working hard and hopefully I can get more chances. If I'm asked, I'm going to play and I need to just keep showing that I can score goals and I can help the team out, and hopefully if I get the chance I can do that. But I'm just going to keep working hard and see, hopefully I can get in the team.
Hugh Keevans, that in many ways is the talking point from Celtic's performance at the weekend. Is Mikey Johnson clearly did enough on Saturday? Has he done enough to really give Brendan Rodgers a problem going into these big games against Aberdeen and Rangers?
My gut instinct tells me that if Odson Edouard is 100% fit, as he will need to be, then he will start the match at Pittodrie on Boxing Day. And the performance, the result at Pittodrie, will determine who plays or does not play at Ibrox at the weekend. So I think that Mikey Johnson has enlivened Celtic after the defeat from Hibs. He has come in along with Anthony Ralston, and they have had a big impact on the team. And Brendan Rodgers should be grateful for the contribution that they have made over those 2 games. However, when it gets to Pittodrie, I think he'll be on the bench.
Alex, what did you make of Mikey Johnson's performance at the weekend?
I thought he was absolutely brilliant, Gordon. The way in which he took his goal was prolific. The opportunity that he had from the Sinclair cross, which hit the crossbar, was so athletic. It was almost like a pirouette where he's managed to guide it back towards goal. And listen, it's interesting because we're talking as if he's only played a couple of games this year, but he's featured within, I think it's 12 games or so. He's had 3 or 4 European outings as well in terms of like sporadic substitution. So they are starting to phase Mikey Johnson in. So it's not as if I think he'll be here for a while now. I agree with you and what he says about if Edouard is fit come Boxing Day, he will most certainly start.
Alec is a Celtic fan on the line. What did you make of Mikey Johnson on Saturday, Alec? And what about the chances of him staying in going forward?
Hi lads, Merry Christmas and all that jazz when it comes.
Yep, same to you.
But oh,
that's hardly it's a wonderful life, isn't
that jazz?
Just a couple of points about Mikey Johnson and Karamoke and Dembele. It was great to waken up to see that the boy had actually signed his first professional contract with Celtic. We all know what happened the last time that Celtic had a magnificent talent. I think the boy went to Chelsea.
Islam Firouz.
That was the end of that. Uh-huh. But with Karamoko, the boy keeps on progressing the way he's doing. I think he's going to be a sensation at Celtic. You look at Mikey Johnson, you think that the boy had been playing in that team for like the last couple of years, and to me, is the nearest that we've had to Patrick Roberts. When the boy picks the ball up, all he wants to do is run. He wants to run and he wants to score goals. And he's everywhere. He's nipping about. And for such a small figure, you know, he's in the box, he's scoring goals, we see. And if Brendan Rodgers can, even with Edouard fit, and if he can, it would be great to see him in the same team as Edouard.
I have no doubt.
I think he would terrorise folk.
I have no doubt that Mikey Johnson is a huge talent and has the potential to be an even greater talent for Celtic. However, we're back to the Steven Gerrard point here about places where players should be in the team and places where players perhaps at this stage of their development should not be in the team. This is Pataudry on Boxing Day, Ibrox on the 29th. These two games are massive for Celtic. And I just think that if your £9 million striker is fit and available, I think Brendan Rodgers will go with him. And I'm not certain that Mikey Johnson gets into the wide positions, because you've got Sinclair and Forrest. And who are you going to leave out? Sinclair came alive at the weekend, clearly a favourite of Brendan Rodgers. And I just think that right now, if Edouard was unfit, then that changes everything. But I think if Edouard is fit, he plays at Pataudry.
It's definitely one to watch with interest, Alex, because there's, I mean, Hugh mentions Edouard being fit. I suppose you can then question how fit, and what does that mean? Does it mean, you know, does he have to start against Aberdeen to get him an appropriate amount of game time back in? You know, how does he use, whether it's Edouard or Mikey Johnson, in that game with a view to the Rangers game as well? So
it really boils,
there's quite a lot to take into account.
Gordon, it's a good question, because it really boils down to where Edouard is in his recovery. If he's 100%, 85%, I think he will probably start. If he's 60%, they'll go, no, we're not going to risk it, and we'll give him an extra few days to then recover, and we'll give him a late fitness test to go into the Old Firm game. So I think it's all these questions that only the medical team and Brendan Rodgers can answer. But it's interesting what Alex says there, because for me, on the back, he's seen Sinclair. That is the best I've seen Sinclair play at the weekend for a long time. He was instrumental in everything. It's interesting because we know he likes to cut in the right foot, and he nearly scored where he won and get cleared off the line. But see, when he takes him down the line as well, Hugh, and he sets up Mikey Johnson, he then gets the foot back. He gave the young boy Cammy Kerr a really tough afternoon. So going to a place like Pataudry as well, where you're up against Shea Logan and guys that know the score, I think you're going with your strongest team, because you have to take max. Again, it's back to the old pressure one. Rangers and Celtic will be looking to try and take the 3 points, get into the Old Firm game, because it puts more pressure on if you don't take the points. So it's all relevant. So you have to negotiate the Hibs and Aberdeen game before the Old Firm game.
Mikey Johnson's getting the headlines this weekend, Hugh Keevans, but you can understand why fans like Alec are delighted with the bigger picture, because we all knew about, firstly, James Forrest, then along came Kieran Tierney, and arguably surpassed all the rest of them. But you've got Callum McGregor, who's a real favourite at the moment as well. And then in the last couple of weeks, Anthony Ralston, Mikey Johnson. For a club that size to be churning out the academy players into the first team, that's something that fans just love.
They have, the two young men, Anthony Ralston and Mikey Johnson, have enlivened Celtic. Brendan Rodgers is not infallible. Brendan Rodgers made a mistake at Easter Road. Square pegs, round holes, caught in the headlights in the first minute, a goal down after 58 seconds, and a very, very poor performance, only made interesting when Mikey Johnson came on in the last 10 or 15 minutes of the game. Ralston and Mikey Johnson then enlivened Celtic against Motherwell and Dundee. They've created a debate, the two of them. I just think that when it gets to Pataudry, it'll be Michael Lustig. It'll be the Edouard up front.
Boyata may welcome back as well. These couple of games.
If your choice is Boyata,
2 seconds, Alec.
If your choice is Boyata or Simeovic, it's Boyata.
Alec, on you go.
I've no fears about going up to Pataudry or going to Ibrox, because as I've said in the show before, Celtic, these games are big game mentality games. Aye, there's a lot, it's the day with ability and everything, but when Celtic run out at Pataudry, and then when they run into Ibrox, they're going out there with a belief that they're going to win the game. No if, buts or maybes, because they've got that big game mentality. They've got that experience, and you cannot buy that. You can't buy a player to buy that.
And that's why, that's why you've answered your own question, because that big game mentality belongs to Michael Lustig, and it belongs to Odson Edouard. It has yet to come for Anthony Ralston and Mikey Johnson, and that's why they will be, I think, on the bench.
A bit of news regarding that game on the 29th today, Hugh, and that's that John Beaton is going to be the man in the middle. Snooker Loopy's on, and he says, can you ask Hugh, will it be the 25th or 30th minute that Celtic get their penalty? And I had a little bit of a scroll down, and would you believe, Hugh Keevans, I for one did not see this coming, that the news about John Beaton has caused a number of Celtic fans to think that he's going to be biased towards Rangers, and a number of Rangers fans to believe he's going to be biased towards Celtic. Who knew?
It doesn't matter who referees Rangers versus Celtic or Celtic versus Rangers. If it was Barack Obama, he'd be in trouble. It doesn't matter who it is. The poor man has no chance. He is verbally abused before the game starts. So I just ignore all talk about referees, because for the fundamentalists on both sides, this is the convenient excuse for them. It was the referee. What did it?
I think everyone should get together, one game only, get everyone involved, everyone to buy into it, and Hugh Keevans referees the game. What do you think?
Can you imagine? Yes. Can you imagine?
Honestly. Thanks to Alec. Colin is a Celtic fan in Falkirk. What's on your mind tonight, Colin?
Well, what's on my mind is I think they should play Mikey Johnston, because if we play Edouard, he's no and kind of that outward striker. Like, Mikey Johnston's been scoring more, and it's actually we should have like a younger striker in the park like him.
I think he's only 1 year younger.
More goals.
I think he's only a year younger than Edouard, Alex. What have you been impressed particularly with the way that he's taken to specifically that position? He's obviously been playing well, but we always hear about it being, you know, a very specific role. You know, different picking up the ball in different areas, different body shape, different movement. He seems to be coping, and you have to acknowledge that at home to Dundee, tougher tests lie ahead.
Absolutely,
but he certainly looks like he knows the role.
I think when he came in at the weekend there, he did what he was asked, Gordon. You know, you look at young Ralston, you look at Mikey Johnson. Celtic had so much of the ball at the weekend. The stats must have been overwhelming, because every opportunity you've seen of the highlights and the stuff that we'd seen, it was wave after wave. And that's the best opportunity to come into that environment. It is a different ballgame when you go to a place like Tynecastle, Ibrox, Pittodrie and Boxing Day. So that you have to contend with all them. Let me just make this as clear as possible to Colin. If Edouard's 100% fit, for me, he has to play, because it's so important to keep the pressure on your rivals, and you have to play your strongest team on that day. And Hugh's right. I think Boyata, Lustig, even Christie may well come back into the reckoning as well. So they will have their strongest team out Celtic, because Pittodrie, and if you look at even Aberdeen's stats of late, 9 wins in the last 12, Hugh. Yeah. They are the form team at the moment. So they'll be getting into that game feeling as if they can turn over Celtic.
You know, Mikey Johnson has that wonderful element of surprise about him, because here you have this diminutive out-and-out striker for 2 games who starts scoring goals, 3 goals in 2 games. And, you know, big defenders are saying, what do we do with this guy? So he has the element of surprise, but they didn't pay £9 million for Odson Edouard to have him as an also-ran. If he's fit, he'll play.
What do you think, Colin?
Yeah, I think Mikey Johnston, because if we play Edouard, it's a bit risky, but you could give him some game time to see if he is fit, and then that would decide that if Edouard is fit for the purpose to play on Saturday and score us the goals.
Will we get a clue against Aberdeen then? Is that, you know?
Listen, do you know what everyone's
doing? Is that the next stage?
Yeah, absolutely. Gordon, what everyone's doing and who's speculating on Edouard's health, where he's at in his recovery. So until we actually find out now, because if he starts, we know he's up to speed. Yeah. They might give him 60 minutes, 70 minutes, depending on the score, if they need to take him the whole game, because he is the number one striker. He brings that physical presence as well. So listen, we'll have to wait and see.
It's 0141 951 1025 on the phone. So let's hear from you. And on Twitter, we are at ClydeSSB. More calls coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We'd be lucky to get one wise man.
Yes, Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are your two wise men. It's the best we can do this evening on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Let's hear from you though. Lots of big football talking points. It might be Christmas tomorrow, the big day, but football does not go away, not even close. So 01419511025 on the phones. Twitter is at ClydeSSB. And Hugh, the response to the mean tweets video that we have just published has been incredible. And people quite rightly pointing out that they have found out far too much about Gordon DL. Things yes. they never wanted to know no. about certain body parts of Gordon DL.
Yes, watch this after your Christmas dinner.
Yeah, that's at Clyde SSB. That's where you'll find the Mean Tweets video, and you'll see exactly what we are talking about. Yeah, it's the moment when the penny drops on. It's not for me to say he's struggling to read the tweet, but you know, and then eventually the penny drops.
I thought you just said that.
And he eventually the penny drops, and it's funny. Anyway, George is in Bathgate. What's your point tonight, George? Hello, George.
Hi, how you doing, boys? All right?
Yeah, good, thanks, George. What's your point tonight? Something regarding Alfredo Morelos?
Just to be Alfredo Morelos, basically. I mean, mm-hmm. sure say that a statement there. I mean, sure, it's always good to speak in statements, but about if we sell Alfredo Morelos, the Rangers fans are going to think twice about season tickets. I mean, that's a crazy statement. I've had a season ticket for 20 years, and in the 20 years, I've seen Barry Ferguson leaving. I've seen other great players leaving. It's never made me think about selling, stopping getting my season ticket. I spoke to Alec Ryan the way at Ibrox last week about wee Alfredo. Of course, he's a great player, but every player in Scottish football's got their point to selling. Of course, I think that's what you want to be in Scottish football. That's maybe a horrible thing to say, but you want to get to the point where you're going to be able to sell these players. A couple of years ago, Rangers couldn't even get a penny for any one of the players. Now, if you're talking about selling Alfredo Morelos, it'll need a crazy amount of money. Name of the water, a crazy amount of money for Dembele, sorry. So I would like to think if we got a crazy amount of money like that, we would obviously beat the hand off people. Want to, nay, Rangers fans got to turn around and say, oh, well, now we've settled him, that's me, I'm not going to go to get my season ticket. That's just crazy statements saying things like that.
Well, Rangers have won nothing. You know, they've got Steven Gerrard as manager, and that's great. However, they've won nothing. And Rangers have been in a bad place for 8 years. Lower leagues. Fans tormented, frustrated. They've watched.
I was there every game.
So, you know, the fans want a tangible sign of success. It's no use having Steven Gerrard if there are no trophies. So,
You're going to a different thing with what you said there, Laurent. You're going on about trophies. Now, that was what we're talking about. You said that fans will stop or think about buying season tickets. Have a second thought about buying season tickets.
I'm saying that you have to keep faith with your supporters. And to sell Morelos midway through this season would not be keeping faith with the supporters who, like you.
Even if it's an unbelievable piece of business, though, as George points out, you're racking your brain to find the last time Rangers had a genuine sellable asset.
See, in football, as you know, Gordon, there are two arguments. There's the economic argument, and of course it makes economic sense to sell if you are a club with £14 million worth of debt. Of course it makes sense to balance the books. There's an economic argument, and then there's an emotional argument. And the emotional argument is for Rangers supporters. And George, you must be in that camp as well. You don't want to see Celtic win 8 in a row because they're then 2 away from 10 in a row. So the emotional argument is...
I think it just comes down to that issue. But my point I'm trying to get is, you're saying if we sell Morelos, and that way you said it earlier, if you sell Morelos, that's the end of the season. If we sell Morelos, let's say we sell Morelos for for 20 times what we sell him for. We got him for 1.2 million. Say we get 10, 15, 20 million for that guy, and we go and Steven Gerrard goes out and gets two players for £4 million to replace him. I think it'd probably take that kind of money, but we paid 1.2 million for Morelos. Now, there are guys out there that can score goals in Scottish football. If you're bringing in still 10 or 15 million pounds and you're bringing in two players to replace him, don't think your Rangers fans would be up in arms, and I don't think Steven Gerrard would be that bothered. Steven Gerrard would see the sense in the business. And that's not my point. I don't think people need to start going out the score about, well, fans going to do this and fans going to do that. The fans are realistic about it. And let's be honest about it. Every single one is realistic about it and wanting Rangers to succeed. And if it means the Rangers succeeding and bringing in money by selling a player and getting another player to replace them, that's the way it is. And things happen. The bigger players than Morelos have left Rangers. Simple as that.
Well, you've made various hypothetical statements there. But I don't think the majority of Rangers supporters want to see Morelos sold to put your hypothetical theories to the test.
Yeah, but again, I feel like we're in danger of misrepresenting George. He doesn't want to see him sold either, Alex. He's just talking about if it gets to that point, you have a serious decision to make, and it could be more beneficial in the long run. Could be.
Yeah, listen, I think if you, from a Rangers point of view, in an ideal world, if you were going to sell him, you would look to sell him in the summer. And the reasoning being is because you're taking a guy out who is in fire. He's the linchpin. He is the go-to guy to get them out of trouble time after time. So if there was a deal to be had in January, I think there would be a massive disappointment within the Rangers fans because of the impact he's having. And to see that so soon into a Steven Gerrard appointment, I think that would be disappointment. But I also get the fact that Rangers are a selling club. Celtic are a selling club, because we see it time after time where they sold Dembele. Now, one of the things that we haven't touched upon is, and this is not to say that the boy is happy or unhappy at Rangers, he looks as if he's as happy as he's ever been in terms of playing. He's got a smile on his face. The supporters are adoring him. So, but if an offer did come in and it was substantial money, you don't know how people are actually going to react. You look
in
at
terms
the
of the player himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you look at Dembele, who more or less says, lastminute.com, I want to go. So players have a part to play in this. I'm not suggesting that. So I'm saying there's lots of factors within. But until there's a tangible figure on the table for Rangers to make that decision, it's all speculation.
All right. Thanks to George in Bathgate on a similar theme. Thomas is in Barrhead. Hi, Thomas.
Good evening, gentlemen, and season's greetings to you all. And thanks for your...
Yes, and you, Thomas.
2018.
Thank you.
The enigma that's Alfredo Morelos. Alfredo Morelos is a wee bit like Brexit. He splits families. I find there are three Alfredo Moreloses, or three issues with him. You've got the Alfredo Morelos who turned up at St Johnston, who would never be at your team, and there would be no price in his head unless it was a really ridiculous one. There's also the Alfredo Morelos who turned up against Hibs, who get eight guilt-edged chances and missed them. And there's the Alfredo Morelos who leaves you fighting a team with 10 men and who sits in the stands and watches the games. The guy's get 19 goals, but yet look at the games he's missed and look at the games where he's played basically quite rank. If you've got Alfredo Morelos and his head is in the right place, he's one of the best on the go just now. But Rangers are in a position we cannot afford to have an Alfredo Morelos off form, and we can't afford to have him sitting in the stand. Where I am is, if we got not even a huge bid, I'm not talking about a 20 million type bid, if we got an 8, 9, 10 million pound bid for Morelos, and hopefully our scouts had suitable replacements lined up, then I would be willing to bite the bullet, because if we had other options up front, yes, we could afford to get out of 10 men all the time, but perhaps we could sit in the stand. Lafferty's not stepping up to the mark when Morelos isn't playing. So there's the dilemma for Rangers, and that's the dilemma for fans. You sit in the stand. I've got myself and one of my sons, I've got the same point of view. Morelos, 8, 9 million, I would take him. Mother son idolises him. So, you know, that's where the Rangers fans are.
I have to go back to the words of Steven Gerrard.
Firstly, Hugh, the biggest compliment I can pay Thomas is that your eyes lit up there on that Brexit line as if you would have been proud of that one.
Oh, one day I'll steal it and claim it as my own. But, you know, I go back to the words of Steven Gerrard, he's going nowhere. That tells me how highly the manager rates Alfredo Morelos. And I do take the point about the guy that gets sent off and the guy that misses sitters. But you can't give him a personality transplant and turn him into a composed individual who never loses his rag. And you can't change him for what he is. Ali McCoist used to miss sitter after sitter, but he still ended up with hundreds of goals for Rangers. So I'm not for 1 minute, Ali, comparing Morelos to you, so sit down. But I just think that whether you love him, loathe him, or are indifferent towards him, I just think that Steven Gerrard believes that with Morelos, he has a title challenge to make. And without Morelos, he's not sure about that.
The chance, well, the winning goal, as it turned out to be yesterday, yep. Alex, that finish probably sums him up, where he takes ones that are they're half chances. He scores a lot of difficult ones. Of course, there's been a lot of high profile misses hanging over his head, but when you look at some of the ones he sticks away, I think it's pretty clear he's a talented finisher.
Yeah, I've said for a long time, Gordon, he has developed unbelievable in the last year. He's all round game. I remember watching him last year, and at this time I was saying on the show, take the money, because I didn't quite see the progression that he's made over this year. Now, one of the things, and you touched upon Ali McCoist. Ali McCoist get in positions time after time. He didn't always score them.
Uh-huh.
This boy is a natural poacher. He might not be as prolific as Ali was at, you know, that age, but he may well go on if you look at the progression this year. So getting back to the point of Steven Gerrard, Steven Gerrard categoric will not want to lose him, purely for the point of view as he says he's a nightmare to play against, he's a handful and he's scoring the goal. So you have to take the bad with that as well. And he's only a young guy trying to find his way in a different country.
Thank you to Thomas and Barhead.
Beat the Pundit
with goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
What a late Christmas gift this would be to rock up here couple of hours before the big day and beat Hugh Keevans or Alex Ray on Beat the Pundit. The chance is here and it's yours. So 01419511025, that's the number you need. Come on, head to head, take on one of these two and try and win yourself a signed ball. It's very, certainly sounds simple, not always that simple when you get through, but let's do it. 01419511025, and you only have until the news at 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here with me, Gordon Duncan, and tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Busy, busy period this for Scottish football. We'll give ourselves a day off tomorrow, Hugh, but until 8 o'clock we are here with plenty
a
to discuss.
Off? A day off?
Yes, just the one.
Sit with that, kids. A just day off?
Yeah.
Are you mad?
He'll be in here, won't he, tomorrow?
Oh, absolutely.
For a bit of peace and quiet. Anyway, 01419511025 is the number you need. We're going to hear from Karamoko Dembele. Mm. The name probably rings a bell. He has been a bit of an internet sensation for a while with some of his skills and goals that he's been scoring at youth level for Celtic and for Scotland. And he's now committed his future to Celtic. So we're going to hear from him after we do this.
Beat the Pundit
with goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Beat the Pundit time, the last one before the big day. Hugh and Alex are both standing by, and one of them is going to be up against Scott, who is a Motherwell fan from Motherwell. Your first time on Beat the Pundit, Scott, what made you call up tonight?
I'll just listen to it, Gordon, so I thought I'd give it a go.
Why not? That's all you can do. Give it a go. I'll toss the coin. Heads, you're going to be up against Hugh, and tails, it will be Alex Ray. And it is tails. Alex Ray up against Scott from Motherwell. They usually do quite well at this when you're listening at home, Scott.
Yes, but I think it's easier when you're listening at home. So
let's see. Let's see how that translates. Right, okay, I'm going to give Alex Ray a bit of Clyde 2 in his ear so that he doesn't know what you're saying, Scott, and we'll get the clock up and running. It is your first time, so here's the drill. You've got 30 seconds. You're going head to head. The secret is you can pass, so if you're going to pass, do it quickly and get on to the next one. Are you ready?
Yes.
Good man. Your time starts now. What squad number has Karamoko Dembele been given at Celtic?
Pass.
Which club has won the most Champions League or European Cup titles?
Real Madrid.
Which side have conceded the most Scottish Premiership goals so far this season?
Dundee.
Which Italian side does Carlo Ancelotti manage?
Napoli.
At which Portuguese team did Jose Mourinho start his management career?
Benfica.
Which Scottish Championship side play their home games at Capello?
Morton.
Who is the Celtic assistant manager?
John Kennedy's a coach, so.
Yeah, right, okay. Let me bring Alex back. Alex, are you with us?
I am, yes.
Right, same set of questions to you, shall we?
Yes.
What squad number has Karamoko Dembele been given at
77.
Celtic?
77.
Which club has the most Champions League or European Cup titles?
Real Madrid.
Which side have conceded the most Scottish Premiership goals so far this season?
Dundee.
Which Italian side does Carlo Ancelotti manage?
Napoli.
At which Portuguese team did Jose Mourinho start his management
Porto.
Career? Which Scottish Championship side play their home games at Capello?
Morton.
And who is the Celtic assistant manager?
Davis. Mr. Davis.
Oh.
Steve Davis. Stay
at home. Oh, now let's go through them. What do you think, Scott?
I think I'm bet.
Right, okay. Well, it certainly was it was as close as I hoped it would be. A good Christmas Eve matchup, Hugh Keevans. What squad number has Karamoko Dembele been given at Celtic? It is 77. So Alex Ray goes into a 1-0 lead. You both got the next one. Real Madrid have won the most Champions League or European Cup titles. 13. It's not bad going, is it? Jeez. Which side have conceded the most Scottish Premiership goals so far this season? It's Dundee on 44. You both got that. So Alex still has a 1 point lead. And it stays the same because you both knew that Napoli is where Carlo Ancelotti manages. But finally, here comes the equaliser from Scott. At which Portuguese team did Jose Mourinho start his management career? It's Benfica.
Wow.
So, I mean, you were, it's an obvious guess for Porto.
I love that as well.
Benfica, yeah, half the year you do, you're right. Benfica. So Scott equalises. And then which Scottish Championship side play their home games at Capello? It is Greenock Morton. So it's all level going on to the last question. Who is the Celtic assistant manager? Scott didn't know. He knew that it wasn't John Kennedy and just sort of passed. You said Davis, Mr. Davis, Steve Davis. It's Chris Davis. Oh. So there's no chance I'm giving you that. I know it's the season of goodwill and all that, but not a chance you're getting it for Mr. Davis, followed up by Steve Davis. No chance. Okay, so here's the tiebreaker. Scott, I'm going to ask the question. I'll get Alex to write his answer down, and I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Yes.
The question is this: Albion Rovers Stadium. Oh, Scott's from Motherwell, maybe a wee bit of local knowledge here. Albion Rovers Stadium, Clifton Hill, actually opened on Christmas Day. Would you look at that? How fitting a tie break for tonight. Of which year though? Clifton Hill opened on Christmas Day of which year? Alex Ray, write your answer down, please. I don't know what you're looking at Hugh Keevens for. He doesn't know.
I'm looking at the producer, man. What a smile he's got on his face.
And if he does, he won't help you. Show me your answer, please, Alex. Can't be taking you that long. Okay, Scott, what's your attempt?
1950.
Okay, Scott's gone 1950. Alex Ray has gone 1926.
Hugh says he covered his first game there for the Daily Record.
The answer is 1919. He's pipped you on the tiebreaker.
Well done, Alex.
Thanks. Do you know I get beat last week in the tiebreaker with a dodgy
question?
You're
making up for it.
Yeah, well done, mate. Merry Christmas to you.
Hard line, Scott. Merry Christmas to you. Take care.
All the best to you all on the show.
Good
thank
man.
You. Well, thank you.
Thanks very much.
That was a good Christmas beat the pundit. I like that, Hugh Keevens.
1919.
Onto the tiebreaker.
It's important to go out in the right manner, though, Hugh, the way you want to go into the new year.
Yeah, sure. What sure, what one did you? What did you go for?
1922.
You're close. Yeah. You must have been there. Yeah, that's not bad at all. All right, beat the pundit. We'll be back. Oh, now we're thinking, Hugh, the day after Boxing Day, I would imagine. Yeah.
We'll call that the 27th.
Yeah, that'll do us, right? I think that's when Beat the Pundit will return. So still a chance for you to get one over on the pundits before the new year. The first question tonight was, what squad number has 15-year-old Karamoko Dembele been given at Celtic? The answer was 77. And he says he's targeting the first team as soon as possible after signing his first professional deal with the club. He says he's looking to excite the fans at Parkhead after signing a deal until 2021. What do you make of that, Hugh? It's not often that a 15-year-old signing for a club is going to get us talking on this show.
Well,
if what we're led to believe is that he doesn't play like other 15-year-olds. That's the whole point.
That's it. Here we have a phenomenon in the making. You know, at the age of 13, he played for Celtic's under-20s. He is clearly a magnificent talent. In the social media age, he became a viral sensation when people saw this kid play. He clearly has a lot of growing up to do in every sense of the word. He's only 16 in February, and physically he has to develop. But the most interesting point of all is that are Celtic preparing someone for somebody else to buy? If that happens, then as Alex said, Celtic, like everyone else, they're a selling club. But the Celtic fans would like to enjoy Karamoko Dembele for as long as they possibly can. So they will be eagerly looking forward to his debut. But I would suggest it's still a fair way off because he's not yet 16 and physically he has to develop.
Celtic fans, what do you make of that news today? Is that one that excites you for the future? Maybe you've been lucky enough to see him in action. Tell us what you think of that news that Karamoko Dembele has signed for the club. Let's hear from him.
It's great. I feel happy. And I'm ready to, you know, start and like try and get in the first team as soon as possible. It means a lot as I've come here at a young age and like all the stuff me and my family have been through together. So it'll be like, it'll be good to like make them proud. I'd like to say thank you, obviously, for everything they've done for me, and like all the training, all the like discipline and like advice they've been giving me all the way. I'd like to thank them. I'm quite creative, like I just like to, you know, excite everyone and like, you know, just put on a show. Awesome. Yeah. It's like, it also gives you hope as an academy player, because like, you know that these players have came from the academy as well, so you've got a chance to get in the first team if you really like work hard and like give it your all.
Alex, Hugh talks about the bigger picture and what may happen down the line, but before we even get close to getting to that, this is obviously good news for Celtic fans.
Fabulous.
Because there was the real possibility that at this point, when he goes to sign his first professional deal, that it would be elsewhere.
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant piece of business. I seen this kid play 2 years ago. I was managing St Mirren, and there was some football going out in the back in the AstroTurf, and I thought, I'm going to go and have a look. It was Celtic versus St Mirren. I thought, I'll give it 10 minutes. I ended up staying at the end of the game. The boy was sensational. He skips past players at will for that age group, and he's obviously been fast-tracked with Scotland and Celtic into the reserves. He has a really bright future. But in terms, because we've been talking about Morelos tonight, in terms of what you bring to the first team, and then obviously from a business point of view, money-wise, you. So to get him tied up was massive, because it could quite easily have been another Billy Gilmore situation, where a Chelsea, similar to Farouz back in the day, could have come in and taken them for buttons in the grand scale of things, having invested in this kid since I think it was 10 years old, he was saying in that interview. So it's a good piece of business. I think that Celtic will throw him in a lot quicker than you would think, Hugh. And I take on board that his size, he's small, but he is really, you know, he's stocky, he's got pace, he's got technical ability to die for. So and to try and keep him at Celtic, and if you look at some of the players in recent years as well, even Mikey Johnson and Ralston and the likes, they throw them in because they have the resources, the personnel to support the kids to get thrown in and blood them at a younger age, more so than most clubs.
It's frightening, Hugh, because he's still so young. Yeah. But even at this point, this is years of work on Celtic's part and others coming through their version of the performance school at St Ninian's, and Kirkintilloch, and then, you know, getting them to that stage where he's ready to sign his first professional deal, but there's still so much in front of him because he's only 15.
It's so important that Karamoko Dembele listens to Celtic, to the people who are trying to help him, trying to further his career. And it's so important his family understand what Celtic are trying to do for him. And we all know that somewhere down the line, if Karamoko Dembele maintains his progress, that one day he will attract unbelievable sums of money. However, at this juncture, he has to listen to Celtic. When Islam Farouz did not listen to Tommy Burns and did not listen to anyone at Celtic, he went off down a path from which he has never returned. He has simply faded from sight. Great talent that is now no more. So it's very important that Karamoko Dembele listens to the right people at Celtic.
How on earth do you strike the balance, Hugh? Because rightly, you will see loads of people saying, you know, forget all this, the kid's 15, let him be a kid, let him enjoy his football, don't put too much pressure on him, don't heap expectation on him. That's on one hand. Then on the other hand, everybody's seen him in the social media age, everyone knows how good he is, every club in the planet is aware of how talented he is. He played for Celtic's youth team, Celtic's reserve team, sorry, when he was 13. And now Celtic themselves are obviously announcing this good news that he's signed the new deal. So how on earth do you find that balance between protecting him but also just acknowledging what a talent he is?
You have to hope that he himself possesses the right temperament, that he is, and I have no doubt this is the case, well looked after by his own family. You have to hope that he listens to the good advice he will get from Celtic. Billy Gilmer at Rangers was clearly an outstanding, exceptional, extraordinary talent who went to London and applied himself properly and continues to progress. He also changed the lives of his family members as well as himself by going down to Chelsea. So he is on a pathway that will take him to the very top. Karamoko Dembele can go down the same pathway. He simply has to show the same temperament, application and willingness to learn from those, at the age of 15, those who know better than him.
And of course, I'm sure this means many more months and years of wondering where his international future lies as well. But we'll get to that on another day. 01419511025. Paul is a Celtic fan in Kirkintilloch. Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys. Happy Christmas to everybody in the show and all your families.
Thank Same you, to you, Paul. Thanks.
My point tonight is I've been listening to some of the calls and I've been hearing some of the Celtic supporters saying about the Aberdeen No Fun game to start with Mickey Johnson. Now, and Anthony Ralston as opposed to Mikael Lustig. Personally, I think that it wouldn't be a good move. I think you need to go with the tried and tested, the guys that have been there and done it before. Even a 75% odds on Edward, I think, would be better starting the game than Mickey Johnston. The guys, the young guy's clearly got a lot of talent, but he's a bit lightweight. And I feel that any young player that Brendan Rodgers, since he's came, since he's given new contracts, I think he seems to like them to beef up a bit. They often get sent away to go out and loan, as Anthony Ralston has done. If you look at his physique now compared to when he went to Dundee United, it's totally different. And along the lines are what he'd done with Moussa Dembele. If you look at Moussa Dembele when he came at the start, and you look at him before he left, he virtually looks like a bodybuilder. And I think that's what Brendan Rodgers looks for in the kind of modern day professional.
I think Brendan Rodgers, and again, all of this is about guesswork and using past experience, but I think Brendan Rodgers now looks at Mikael Lustig, Kieran Tierney, Dedryck Boyata, Odson Edouard, and thinks they'll all start at Pittodrie because it's vital that Celtic get the kind of result, in other words, a win at Pittodrie, that allows them to go into Ibrox at the weekend saying, we're here, we know it's serious time, and we've got our best players back. So, as I say, Mikey Johnson undeniably will be a top Celtic player one day, as will Anthony Ralston. But right now, it's serious time. And I think that means the A-listers.
Yeah, and maybe we don't have to be so definitive about it, Alex. We always talk about it being a squad game and all the rest of it, and that's perhaps where Paul makes a particularly accurate point. What's to say that this confidence, this run of form, this belief that Mikey Johnson has built up, what's to say that can't still benefit Celtic from the bench with 20 minutes to go?
Listen, there's so many permutations. You're right, Gordon, and they may well throw him on as the game's more stretched, you know, because the early exchanges, I think, will be a lot more physical. So it may well be a case of bringing him on. But in terms of what Paul's point was, for me, Brendan Rodgers will put out his strongest team. From my own experience, Aberdeen is one of the most difficult venues within the league when you got there, and particularly
good form as
the
well.
Form,
yeah.
I just mentioned that earlier on, Gordon, 9 wins in the last 12 games, 5 wins in the last 6. So it's good form. It's you know, it's the form team is in form the most at the moment. And Derek McInnes will most certainly be wanting to go into that as well, because he's still trying to get that second spot. And even if you look at Derek's ambition, he'll be trying to get top of the table as well, because if he beats Celtic, depending on what the weekend is, he may well finish before the winter break top of the tree. So Derek is a competitor as well, and he'll be wanting to try and turn over Celtic, that's for sure.
This is our last chance really to preview it, Hugh. What a fixture card we've got on Boxing Day.
Yeah, astonishing. Aberdeen Celtic have gone there under Brendan Rodgers and they've dominated and they've had fantastic performances at Pittodrie. Aberdeen will doubtless think this is our time now because of the form that Alex has outlined. I have to be perfectly honest, I thought the first time I saw Sam Cosgrove when he was scything Scott Brown and when he was getting sent off at Ibrox, I said to Alex on Saturday in the programme, off air, and I'll say it on air now, I thought it was a lump of wood. But
is that a technical term?
Yeah. He has come away.
Please don't get Alex Ray started. For the last 6 weeks, all he's done is come in and talk to me about the wood that he's been cutting up to put in his new fire. So don't use that phrase, you'll get him excited.
But I really did not think he had in him what he is now showing.
Well, speaking of Aberdeen, some very, very interesting comments from Craig Levein today about Derek McInnes. He has accused him of double standards and talking tripe.
Really?
And much more. So we're going to get the full time teaser up and running, and we'll hear from Craig Levein next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here with me. Gordon Duncan and the mince pies have just been delivered into the Clyde One Super Scoreboard studio. Hugh Keevans, you've got your eye on them, I can see.
Well, you see, I've been in that fast food restaurant at lunchtime, and I want to make sure that my body remains a temple, you know.
What does Christmas Day, Christmas dinner look like in the Keevans household? You got big plans?
Well, it'll be my daughter's house, and it'll be mayhem.
The works?
Mayhem.
What's the first choice on the dinner plate for Hugh Keevans?
Oh no, absolutely straight down the line, traditional turkey and trimmings and all.
Are you
that.
A sprouts man?
Oh, I love sprouts.
Oh, not for me, Alex.
What do you call those things? Chipolatas. Really, no. I love chipolatas. Them, yeah.
I have to be honest with you, it's one of the best days of the year for me as well. We get the mother-in-law over and the aunt, and just a quiet time, just gorging on some beautiful food and the coal fire.
Oh, see this fire of his, he's got a new fire. Honestly, he doesn't shut up.
It's like Christmas in Andy Williams' house with him.
Anyway, 01419511025 on the phones. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. In my head I'm thinking Christmas Eve, we'll go a nice soft approach with the teaser. Yeah. It'll make it nice and easy. And I'm looking at the one that we've chosen, and it's not easy. It's not remotely easy. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's been sent in by Saf in Melbourne, interestingly enough. And he says, name the 13 players who have been the highest scoring non-Europeans in the English Premier League in any of the seasons since 97-98.
Aguero's got to be there.
Okay, do you get the question though, Hugh? There's quite a lot of information. I'll read it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Name the 13 players who have been the highest scoring non-Europeans in any season of the English Premier League since 97-98. So they don't have to have been the top scorer in the league, just the top scoring non-European in any season.
Suarez.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I was thought I would try and wind you up. Suarez is one of them.
Yeah.
What did you say, Alex?
Aguero.
Sergio.
Yes. You've got two already. What a flying start. They're the two easiest ones though, by a mile. By an absolute mile.
Why do you think we got them?
What about the boy who was at Newcastle, Asprilla?
Oh, the Colombian.
No, you're going to say no. Yes, the Colombian, yes.
You know when I do that, when I raise my voice like that, I'm just going to try.
Yes, no.
No, sorry, you're wrong.
Yes.
There is a. Of the obvious ones, you've got two. You're missing arguably the most obvious.
Chicharito.
No.
The one I've got is the one at Chelsea, Argentinian. Mo Salah's got to be there, no?
Yes. Was he the top scorer in the league last year? He was certainly in the top two, goals, wasn't he? So, yeah.
Drogba.
Yes.
Good shout, Shug.
Yeah.
Oof, how many is that? I've got four.
Yeah.
This is a mince pie inspired effort from Hugh Keevans. I didn't expect you to get so many. Suarez, Aguero, Salah, Drogba. You're looking for another nine Europeans who have been.
Samietto?
No. Your luck has run out. So we're looking for another nine Europeans who have been the highest. No, I've really messed that up. We're looking for another nine non-Europeans
yes.
who have been the highest scorers in the English Premier League. Sort of.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, sort of. You know where I'm going anyway,
yes,
don't you? Even if I keep making
okay
a mess
so far,
of the question.
That's not too bad, yes.
yeah.
Name the 13 players who have been the highest scoring non-Europeans in any season of the English Premier League since 97-98. Guys like Suarez, Aguero, Salah and Drogba. You've got another nine to get. We're going to hear from Craig Levein. He's had a right old pop at Derek McInnes.
Never.
Talk about the season of goodwill. No love lost between these two. But let's first speak to Scott and Kirkintilloch. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott,
you got us? No, it's the world's quietest phone line. Try again. Nah, give it a couple of minutes, Scott. We'll try and get that cleared up. Speak to the producer and see what we can do. I had if you care, Hugh Keevans. I had Scott's volume at absolute maximum there and could barely hear a word they was saying. So I'm just going to do a wee check on Twitter at Clyde SSB, see if anyone's coming up with
the goods.
Yeah, Hugh Moan. Oh, I just love Hugh Moan's style. Every night he just comes in and just tells you the hardest one.
Does he?
Yeah, he doesn't bother about the rest. Just names one and says, this is the hardest one. Showing off, really. But Brian Elder says Alan Shearer. We're looking for non-Europeans. Remember, Brian.
Mind you, you're there.
The Yak Yakubu.
What a shout that is from you.
I've also got another one, and I'm trying.
I'm well impressed with that.
Who was the one for Leeds that scored the pile driver?
I'm not going to say his name because you just accused me of trying to reel you in. Tony Yeboah.
And that's the guy. I. I'm just thinking the guys that were. The ex-Celtic player Hugh went to Leeds as well.
Oh, Mark Viduka.
You two are flying. I've never seen a performance like this.
I'm just chest him down for 2 yards. Shog, you just slide down the back post.
That's 6 of 13. Right, I think Scott's back with us. Hi, Scott.
Hi, good evening.
Oh, I've got you now. Loud and clear, Scott. On you go.
Yeah, that's good. Right, just before I make my main point, I just wanted to talk about the situation with the left back injury just now.
Mm-hmm. The Rangers.
Rangers. Heard a few people speaking earlier about Lee Wallace. I think Lee Wallace's better days are behind him. I think he's about.
Scott, are you there?
He just disappeared. I think he got some sort of shout from the background. I don't know if it was his boss. He's on his break at work or something. He's just disappeared. He got the gist though. His
best days are behind him.
Lee Wallace.
Well, this is an interesting thing, Hugh, isn't it? Because up until really the few injuries and things, it's very difficult to gauge because he hasn't been about for so long. I watched him a couple of weeks ago, and I take it on board. The reserve league is a canter for a player of his experience. And the opposition was a team of kids. So when I seen him and I seen the problems and the constant, whether it be Flanagan, whether it be Andy Halliday, you know, Barisic is your number one, but they're constantly overlooking this guy. And for me, he would give a really good option in that area.
Maybe that's not the question, Hugh. I mean, if the question is, are Lee Wallace's best years behind him? I'm not sure that matters as much as the question, is he a better option right now than John Flanagan or Andy Halliday?
Correct.
That has to be the most pertinent question.
That is the only question. And I'd have to turn it to Alex and say, as a simple rule of thumb, would you put in someone, Alex, who has not played a first team game this season, would you put him into the sequence of matches, Hibs and Celtic?
Not started a game, you mean?
Yeah.
No, he hasn't started a game. He came on in the dying seconds, I think, in the 3-3 game, Hugh, for the corner, which resulted in the equaliser.
Which one, sorry?
The 3-3 game earlier on in the season. Yeah, he came on for the last seconds, right, and then he obviously came on at the weekend against St Johnstone. So he hasn't played, Hugh. But just to give you an example, Hugh, in terms of where he would be from a fitness aspect, I was out for about 11 weeks. I was 34 years old, and I got an injury against Celtic, and I come back against Celtic and managed to do okay in that game, and then played the game after that. You can raise your game initially because your adrenaline, you're back in the fold. But what my experience is, then you then have a dip, you know, a couple of games in. So he may well be able to get through.
Allow me to put you on the spot then. Hypothetically, the game's tomorrow. You're picking the team. Barisic is injured. Do you play Lee Wallace at left back?
I would play Lee Wallace, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I've been advocating this for a few weeks purely for the point of view he's been playing on a regular basis. It's not as if he's been sitting injured for weeks. I think Flanagan's done okay, but he doesn't give you the balance. Andy Halliday's, is he a left back? Not for me. So you're kind of, as you said earlier on, square pegs and round holes.
Is it worth bearing in mind as well, Hugh, again, imagine you're Steven Gerrard and you've got that choice. You've got Halliday, Flanagan and Lee Wallace. And again, hypothetically, you come to the conclusion that where they are at the moment, footballing ability, there's not much in it. Surely then Lee Wallace's experience and everything he's been through at the club has to then at least count a bit in his favour.
Well, the time that he spent at the club is not of Steven Gerrard's concern, I don't think.
No, I mean in terms of experience though. I mean, if you're comparing two guys who are similar in footballing ability but one's more experienced, then you would tend to lean towards that, would you not?
I think that Steven Gerrard will veer towards Lee Wallace for the double header, Hibs and Celtic. Andy Halliday, I know, is entitled to feel sore. Every time something happens, it's Andy Halliday's fault. You know, and in bad times, you know, the Rangers fans were coming on here and saying, fed up hearing about how he was born in the shadow of Ibrox and all this, but he comes in and he plays honestly for Rangers, and he is the square peg in the round hole, but he gives the honest 100% endeavour of somebody who feels strongly about the club. Having said all that, we're back to that situation that Brendan Rodgers finds himself in. Anthony Ralston or Michael Lustig? It'll be Michael Lustig. Andy Halliday or Lee Wallace? I suspect it'll be Lee Wallace.
Right, this is a good listen. Craig Levine is accusing Derek McInnes of double standards and talking tripe. Now, this is after his Aberdeen counterpart claimed that the Hearts were always looking for penalties. Levine felt his team should have had two penalties during the 2-0 defeat at Pittodrie on Saturday. These were incidents, I'm sure you've seen them, involving Stephen Naismith and Peter Haring. However, Aberdeen, of course, then they got their own penalty after a pull on Scott McKenna. McInnes arguing that the better team won and claimed he didn't know what Levine was talking about. This is back and forward, but here's what you need to know today. Here's the response from Craig Levine.
And I have to laugh when I listen to Derek having a pop. It's the same Derek McInnes that was on the phone to me 3 weeks ago crying his eyes out about the decisions that he got in the Celtic game and also the sending off that he got against Rangers. So I have to laugh, you know.
But double standards?
Ah, double standards all day long, eh? Mm. All day long. And he even said to me, which is funny, they stopped complaining about referees because he felt that they got more decisions going for him if he didn't complain, you know. So, listen, I've got to laugh. I've got articles here that he's complained 4 or 5 times about the officials already this season. He forgets that, eh? He also tried to get Stephen Naismith sent off, which I'll remember as well.
I'm not messing about there. Cards on the table. I thought there were 3 penalty decisions to be taken in the Aberdeen Hearts game. I thought the referee got it wrong on all 3 occasions. I didn't think it was a penalty for Aberdeen, and I thought that Hearts were denied 2 stonewall penalties.
What about this stuff afterwards? I mean, if you listen carefully, you can hear these two furiously crossing each other off the Christmas card list for next year, because that was quite scathing, I thought, from Craig Levine.
I have 2 ways of looking at this. Were I still writing for one of our tabloid newspapers, I'd be saying, lovely, lovely. Get me a taxi back to the office, will you, so I can start clattering this out. But I do think now that it's become a modern trend to reveal conversations that you had with someone when that someone thought they were having a private conversation with you. And when it suits your ends, you then make that private conversation a public conversation. So I do not know what the relationship will be between Derek McInnes and Craig Levine from this day on, but I suspect it will be frostier than the weather out there.
The 2 penalties that Hearts were denied, having listened to Derek McInnes afterwards, you know, I think he was kind of pointing out that that wasn't the case. He didn't see it like that. And they were obviously putting their viewpoint. For me, I agree with you. I thought the 3 penalties were wrong. Aberdeen one was a bit harsh, really. But going back to the conversation thing, for me, there has to be a kind of professional respect that when you're having a conversation, and this is not the first time that Craig Levine's actually did this, Gordon. Yeah. He did it a few weeks ago about John Fleming. So there'll be managers and coaches very conscious of what they're actually saying to people now, whereas in times go by, they need to be respectful of conversations that are done in private. And again, it's to suit no ends, but it's a wee bit schoolboy stuff for me. You know, there's a better way to deal with it and to do it. And why not pick up the phone and say that to him? You know, I think you were this, and then have this professional relationship. Just to reveal everything publicly doesn't do the relationships, and I don't think it's healthy for the game.
Hugh, at this time of reflection and looking back on the year, one conclusion you can safely draw is that the 2018 Craig Levine doesn't care. He says what's on his mind.
Well, Craig Levine basically runs Hearts. You know, he seems to be in all the top positions at the same time.
And Budge might have something to say about that. But I get where you're going.
The results at the moment for Hearts are poor. They have started to slide, and I think Craig will need to concentrate on the football. But I do repeat, I thought he was denied 2 stonewall penalties at Pittodrie.
We've been talking about what we heard from Karamoko Dembele, didn't we? And Paul is on Twitter. He says, a shout out to Karamoko's old boys club, Park Villa. I remember we had some of the guys on the show, actually. He says, especially Peter Payton, who coached him from 5-year-old and let him go to Celtic full time when he could have kept him for another season. All his former coaches are bursting with pride for Caddy. Kevin's in the Gorbals. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, panel.
Hello, what's your point tonight, Kevin?
I'd like to wish you all the best for tomorrow.
Thank you, Kevin. Same to you.
Same to you, Kevin.
I've got 2 points. Mm-hmm. My first point is, it's basically, well, it's an observation, but I like to see Celtic signing Callum McGregor in a 5-year deal and KT 6-year deal there not so long ago, and then Karamoko Dembele. Surely all looks well for the future. So I was just wondering, do the panel think that they intend to keep them there, or is that just to, like,
to cover their own back, sort of thing, to sell it?
Put extra money on a
ultimately it's both you, isn't it? That's the whole point. It's both at the same time.
Kevin and the rest of the Celtic sport get to enjoy Callum McGregor and Kieran Tierney. But even Brendan Rodgers said that Callum McGregor could play in the English Premiership one day. And he mentioned that Callum is 25 and had plenty of time to play in the English Premiership. So some people think that if you sign up with Celtic or Rangers on a long-term contract, that's it. It's because you never want to leave. No, the club are safeguarding themselves because one day Kieran Tierney will attract a big offer, I have no doubt. Callum McGregor, the same. You hope, you simply hope that the club can fulfil all of their ambitions as players. Otherwise, one day the club will accept the big money.
Kevin, we're quite short on time. If you've got a second point, let's hear it.
Listen, this is me getting a dig in at my neighbours, but with Rangers almost destroying herself in Scottish football, do you not think they've ruined the best derby in the world by cutting the allocation? The Celtic fans, and obviously we've had to follow suit and do the same.
Quickly on that one, Hugh, I did say we're late
shame.
Already.
It's a shame. I do think it upsets the dynamic of the fixture. But as Kevin says, if Rangers say that's it, only 800 fans at Celtic at Ibrox, then Celtic will inevitably say, okay, same for us.
Right, quickly, we are running late on the teaser. You've got Suarez, Aguero, Salah, Drogba, Yakubu, Viduka.
I'm struggling now, Hugh.
Would you like some thinking time?
Yes.
Okay, the answers to the teaser are hopefully coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray. And they're actually doing better than usual. Take that as you will. At the teaser, the
backhanded compliment, yeah. That
the full time teaser tonight, sent in by Saf in Melbourne. Remember, if you've got a good question, you like the sound of what we're doing, send your questions in, because we'd love to use them on the show. Fulltime@Clyde1.com is the address you need. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. So tonight's is: name the 13 players who have been the highest scoring non-Europeans in any season of the English Premier League since 97-98. You're doing really well. You've got Suarez, Aguero, Salah, Drogba, Yakubu and Viduka, which means you've got 6 of 13.
Carlos Tevez.
Yes.
Jurgen Klinsmann.
Nope.
Yorkie.
Dwight York. Yes.
Frederick Canute.
No.
Big Freddy. No.
Alexis Sanchez.
Yes. Okay, 9 out of 13. Any more?
Canu.
No.
Canu is a great shout. What a player he was, Hugh.
Oh, sadly, yeah.
Ability. I mean, phenomenal ability for a guy so big. Just technical ability was great.
No, all right. Some more thinking time, perhaps.
Yes.
Right, let's speak to Kenny the Jambo. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, guys. Happy Easter, Yeezo. No, Hugh, I hope you're, if it's your daughter that works with the special kids, I hope she has a fabulous rest and a nice Christmas.
You're very kind, thank you.
Alec, I was want to ask you, in your managerial role as a player.
Yeah.
See the collapse of my team.
Yeah.
See if you took out your bearer, your suitor, and then you get Jimmy Dunn and the other boy, David, them getting injured. And
yeah.
I think what a lot of people forget is we lost Lafferty as well as Big and Pexley and then Naismith as well. How would you deal with that on both fronts? Because I think it would affect a lot of players, that other main players went out at the same time.
there's no two ways about this affected their form. I saw them at Ibrox and they lost, but they were really impressive that day. And I think the key thing is the positions and the personnel. It's really hampered them. Now, I know that Bear has been back the last couple of games, but I said earlier on in the programme, when you get to a certain age, after a period of time, you initially have that little kind of boost and you can manage to cope for two or three games and then you have a dip. And I expected that with Bear, whether that's the case or not. So you're getting these guys back after a long period. Naismith will be the same as well. You know, they've been out for a while, so it's difficult to get them back up to speed. But then when you have done on the back of that as well, it's a difficult time. But at one, I think it's 1-1 in 10, and we were talking, Hugh and I were talking, you know, the Edinburgh Derby coming up as well on the 29th, and the importance of that for Hearts, because at which stage do people start looking, Hugh? Oh, you know,
well, Kenny's the man perfectly positioned to tell us, because we're viewing it from afar, Kenny. But would Craig Levein start to get a bit of stick if Hibs were to win the Derby?
Oh, definitely, definitely. But that would just be for the Derby alone. I know what you said earlier, Hugh, about Levein being sort of in control at Hearts. He's a man where, you know, the couple of seasons where he actually had a good run with players, they finished runner-up in the Premier twice, which shouldn't be forgotten. But I think he's had that transformation with Cathro leaving, the carry-on with the stand, the amount of players he's brought in, and the injuries. I think to be 9 points off the top, I'd have took that at the start of the season.
Yeah, but up until about 9 or 10 games, you were dreaming. You know, the start that he's made was absolutely fabulous. So I'm not quite sure where. See, this because Rangers fans use it quite a lot as well. We would have taken that at the start of the season. But then when you start losing games to Livingston and Dundee and things, then you have to put it in context. So for me, I think Hearts, even though they've got these injuries, should not be on a 1-10 run. So, you know, as I said, the next couple of games, and I think that's what Hugh's trying to say. Where would that leave Craig going into the new year?
The Australian game, Alec.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, Hibs are decimated by that as well. Kenny, what do you make of your manager's outstanding commitment to being permanently at the wind-up these days and just digging out everyone who comes across him?
Listen, I think if you're looking for experience on Levein's comments, as Hugh said, he would have run back to his desk and got a print off going. But it's blockbuster news for Levein, but he should maybe shut up and just get on with getting the team winning again.
The reason why I'd like to see you coming back, Kenny, is I think that what's going on in Edinburgh right now is really, I'll use the word heartening, no pun intended. You know, Hearts get fabulous crowds, Hibs get fabulous crowds, the city's alive again. Where the two football teams are concerned. And I'd love to see it continue, because it's helping. We've had a tremendous season one way and another. Hibs played an early part in that, and so did Hearts, and now both have fallen away a good deal. But I'd like to see Hibs and Hearts coming back, because you've both got terrific fan bases and they're turning out and they're getting right behind the clubs again. So it's a great development for the game in general.
Thank you to Kenny the Jambo. Let's hear from Oran Kearney. He's hoping the first away win in the league will help St Mirren kick on ahead of the winter break. Simeon Jackson scored the only goal in the win over Motherwell, and the Buddies boss says the players showed character to hang on.
I think the mentality all week and the mentality today is, you know, let's get our first away win and get the monkey off our back, whatever else. I think our big psyche, I suppose, coming into the game was that we've underperformed against the teams around us since I've arrived anyway. And we've been disappointed with the performances and the points that we haven't gained, I suppose, in the teams around us. And I think it was more to put that right today. And I think that's probably the most pleasing aspect. I suppose a game like this between two teams of where we're situated is probably more like a game of chess. And it's probably, in the first half in particular, like all week, I'd bit your arm off for 0-0 at half time in relation to there at home. It probably brings a bit of edge. It brings a bit of angst in their point of view, and they start to come out possibly a little bit more. And I think the substitutes happened at the time probably where the game was naturally going to possibly open up for us a little bit, and it proved that way, and it allowed us to, you know, to get a goal and give us something to hold on to.
Is that the result of the weekend, or one of them, in terms of what, yeah, it does in the league table?
For me, as I said at the top of the programme, I felt as if it was such an important win. If you can get some daylight between Dundee, then it gives you that breathing space and you can start looking up the way, and obviously it draws Motherwell back towards them as well. So Oren Kearney will be delighted to get the 3 points, but he needs to kind of try and capitalise on that. They can't go on a similar run again.
I don't want to go all Grinch on this, but it's,
yeah. it comes naturally to you.
It's only a great result if they follow it up with another one, because if they follow it up with a defeat, then you're back to square one.
But it's almost like the old relegation 6-pointer, in the sense that it could have gone to 12 points between Motherwell and St Mirren, and instead it's 6, and that looks a whole lot better if you're from Paisley, and a whole lot worse if you're from Motherwell.
Yeah, it brings Motherwell back into the equation. You can't just dismiss them, and they've still got another 2 games to go without the manager being on the touchline. And so for Stephen Robinson, it's a tense finish to the part of the season that leads to the winter break.
Not a great deal in the game, Alex, and Motherwell obviously had chances as well, but that's the whole point. You're going to have to take advantage of fine margins sometimes, and that's what St Mirren did.
Yeah, they have to capitalise on that, and I think one of the things in their favour, weekend, Gordon, we said that in recent weeks St Mirren have managed to score first within a game, and then obviously gone on and lost some games. So this will be a big boost to Oren Kearney. They've got St Johnstone Boxing Day, then they have Kilmarnock at the weekend. So hard games, but if you can take some points, because at the turn of the year they then have Celtic, Hibs, Rangers or to contend with. So if they can get some more points on the board, then that would be a boost.
Can you name the 13 players who have been the highest scoring non-Europeans in any season of the English Premier League since 97-98? Big thank you to the tweet, I can't remember who it was, for reminding me that I missed the opportunity to slag Alex Ray for suggesting that Jurgen Klinsmann was a non-European. But anyway, you've still got 4 to get.
He's an American citizen now, you're half right.
You've got 4 to get, quick, let's do it.
We're struggling.
I'll give you a bit of a clue. This guy played for loads of big clubs in England, but Man City and Arsenal in particular, because there was a bit of beef there when he played against his old club. Bit of an infamous celebration where he ran all the way to celebrate in front of what used to be his fans. No?
I'm going for you. Come on, Hugh, you need to contribute here.
Adebayor.
Oh, Emmanuel,
remember
Adebayor.
I would never have got him.
Right, okay, it's definitely clue time. This one is a countryman of Christian Gamboa.
Costa Rica.
Yep.
Costa Rica, Hugh.
Played for.
Oh, it's the one chop.
Yes.
Oh, the old chop.
One chop.
I saw him in my back pocket one day.
Proper wonder kid. I mean, you would have been forgiven for thinking this guy was going to be the best player on the planet for a while, and it just didn't really materialise. He was one of Man City's big money signings. Brazilian. I mean, don't get me wrong, he had a decent career. He still played with Real Madrid, etc., but just maybe not quite the expectation level.
I'm struggling here. Man City, Brazilian.
I mean, it sounds a bit like Ronaldinho, except it's not. As in, it begins with the same letter and ends in the same sound. Robinho.
Oh, Robinho.
And the last one, Aston Villa, Juan Pablo Angel. We need to go. That was it. Thank you, Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray. And from us to you, Merry Christmas. Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.